Hey guys, hey fans, welcome to the F1 India community podcast for the Monaco Grand Prix. Today in the panel we have your host, myself, SJ, and in the panel we have Arif, Aniket and Arvind. Hey guys, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we are all fine and hope you will be fine.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice, we are all fine, so, and we are surprised by our Monaco Grand Prix.
Of course. So we'll give it a shout out to, after 1 year of gap, finally the Monaco GP happened and it was worth watching the race. However, the initial part of the race was a little bit boring, feeling that the drivers are going for a Sunday afternoon drive. But then eventually it turned out very nice. So we'll start with a little bit going backwards on Saturday with the starting positions of the grid. Arvind, do you want to take us through the starting grid and all those problems or the tire choices we had? And specifically, if you can highlight the problem, what Charles faced in his Ferrari on the pole position.
To start with, we all saw what happened in quali in Q3. It was definitely devastating. And as I and SJ, we discussed about the curse in the preview, exactly it happened, like 50% of the curse got rid, and the drivers got rid of 50% of the curse, magar baki 50% bach gaya tha, and that is something really sad. Yeah,
I know, right? हमने प्रीव्यू में हमने मोनाको जीपी के प्रीव्यू में डिस्कस किया था ये चीज कि कैसे लकलक हैज टू गेट रिड ऑफ दिस कर्स, एंड स्पेसिफिकली व्हेन वी सॉ दैट मैक्स वर्स्टैपेन गॉट रिड ऑफ हिज कर्स इन इटली एंड इमोला, दैट वन वाज ऑसम. या दैट पर्टिकुलर थिंग इज रियली सैडनिंग यार, सीरियसली.
मैंने एक कॉमिक अपलोड किया था, इट वॉज अबाउट डबल जिक्सिंग द मोमेंट. So it was about Carlos asking Leclerc, what's going to happen? You have a jinx on this Monaco Grand Prix. But Leclerc has replied, I have double jinxed it. So people are jinxing it so that my performance will be jinxed again. So it will be a double jinx. So it will make a double negative as a positive. But seriously, it can't go any wrong for Leclerc in Monaco. This is consecutive fifth DNF for him in Monaco.
Unfortunately, in the second run, he knew that he was not on a good lap, but still he had a chance to go for a third run during Q3. Hamilton has just completed his second run in Q3, and we suddenly saw Max putting up a perfect sector one. Valtteri a couple of attempts up on Charles. Sainz was also on a good sector one. So there was a chance for like those three, but Leclerc would have had a third chance as well. We never expected him to crash. Obviously, he also didn't expect it.
Right.
So it was, that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that is also the place where he crashed. It is a place where most of the people crashed, like Max in 2018, Latifi in the practice sessions. So it's not it's an incident prone area, that part of the circuit. So obviously it wasn't deliberately to keep this pole. Mm-hmm. I feel, this is my opinion, and in fact it cost. He hit the wall. He broke his front suspension and his steering, and of course that also seemed to have caused some problem. But Ferrari were like, we have no gearbox issues the next day, and obviously we all know what happened. He seemed to have some issues, but still they report that it was not because of the crash. It was something else that happened. They never figured it out. They have to figure it out. So it was we discussed about the curses. I told 50% was over. I was referring to the livery curse that one McLaren got on the podium. It was bad for another McLaren. The homeboy curse was still there. The second seat for Red Bull, it made a good progress. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Aniket, just a minute. I just remembered something. I'll come to you 1 minute. On the point that Arvind said, I just want to highlight, after the the qualifying is over, somebody asked Verstappen, how would you see the crash of Leclerc? Because Verstappen, Sainz, Bottas, all were in the short of scoring that pole position. Had Charles did not crash on the swimming pool chicane. Now, it is very interesting what Max said. Max said that, you know, it's a very complex part of the race circuit where he himself has crashed twice. And, you know, and somebody asked, should the lap time be deleted or something like that? He said, no. It's a very complex part. Why do you want the lap time to be deleted on that thing? On that front, Aniket, you want to shed some light on the start progress on how does it? Just to make it clear, you know, there was some problem in the drive shaft and the gear system which was not connecting properly. That's what the problem is supposed to be said to have. Yes, Aniket, go ahead, please.
The problem with Leclerc was not a gearbox. It was from gearbox to the wheels, the drive shaft, which can be tested only when the car is running on the track, because the gear shaft is connection between the last part of the drive train, means the gear from the gear box to the wheels which will drive it. So problem was in that drive shaft. So it must have taken a back in the incident. So that means they have tested the gearbox for any leaks or any probable damage, but they as soon as the car starts running on the track, that problem, it was, means from my side, it was suspected that there may be a problem. So at the end, it came. But what happened in this process was everyone was denied an opportunity to show to the world who was about to get the pole on the qualifications, Q3. So Max was up by 0.15 seconds in sector 1 only. Bottas was up by 0.1 second. Still, Bottas or Mercedes were expecting that they would have got the pole. So, but my intuitions and many of the people think that Carlos Sainz was the guy who was going to get the pole. Because through every practice sessions, through every, to even FP3, he was having an edge on Leclerc on every occasion. And he was very good in the slow and the medium speed corners. If you see the sector, mini sector wise times of the Monaco circuit from Carlos Sainz, he was dominating the circuit like whole. And the Ferrari was very much planted. Means I don't know what they have done to their suspension, but if you observe from a Red Bull perspective or a Mercedes perspective, if you see the onboard of these two cars and compare it to Ferrari, Ferrari was not moving or it was not getting a back around the circuit like these two cars were. Ferrari was like, it was gliding through the curves. So Sainz could have got the point.
Arif, what do you think about the technical insight that Aniket has given? And quickly, just in just a couple of sentences, and would just like to go with the race start. Your thoughts on the technical insight which Aniket gave?
I'm totally agreed with Aniket. I'd like to add on few more things. That the thing he said that really Ferrari was ruling the track, and the reason was that as we all know that during the winter season they went on. They said that they will use their tokens for the rear stability. And we can all see, we will see the onboard. And in the sector, basically, they were the fastest in the second sector, the middle one. And the middle one is full of slow and medium speed corners. And the most important thing you need in the slow and medium corners are that your rear should be very, very stable. And that was the thing that helped Ferrari a lot. Ferrari has always been good on the street circuit. Either it's Monaco or it's, you can see, the Singapore. So they have always been great on the street circuit. And that's for the region. And yeah, I'm not sure about Max Verstappen or Valtteri Bottas, but yeah, I am damn sure that if Leclerc hadn't crashed, Sainz might have got the pole. I believe this thing. But
I would like to stop you at that point. Yeah, that's very good, insightful. About what information that you have given. Going to the race start, you know, quite a few drivers opted for soft and medium tire choices, right? Like Stroll started to go for hard tire and so then we both went for the median tire choices. What's your take on that?
I don't think there was any tire strategy related to that. Like, yeah, no doubt, Sonoda and Stroll went for the hard tire. Because, look, we all know that it's very difficult to overtake at Monaco. We all know that. And if you need to overtake the car in front of you, the delta has to be at least of 1.5 or more than that. Then only you will be able to overtake on Monaco. So that's what the, right. So the main reason. But and we can see, we will go through the progress and we'll see that how, like, Hamilton was on 7th, I think, so I'm sure. And he was 60 seconds off the pace. Like, you can see how how the time gap was being created at that point of time. So they might think that it's better to go on the hard tire, because if initially we won't get past, then we can literally create time, and we know there's always a chance of safety car on Monaco. It is one of the tracks where it is one of the tracks having the highest percentage of safety cars. So gambling on the hard tire was never gonna, like, it was always going to pay. If safety car happens, they might switch to the soft one. And you know, in the latest of the race, when the fuel quantity will go down. So you might have a chance to overtake some guys, because, you know, like, if you are going for the hard tire, it means that you will at least 50 laps. And those on the soft tire, they will do something around 20 to 30 laps. So then you will go after 50 laps, you will go on the soft tire. The guy in front of you, just using soft tire, he will be on the medium tire, which is almost 20 laps old. So you might have that delta that I'm talking about, the delta of more than 1.5 seconds in order to overtake at Monaco.
On that note, Aniket, we'll come to you. Can you go through the race start? Take a start from the formation lap. You know, Ferrari, Charles did take the pole, that first place on the formation lap, right? Can you go through that, please?
Discussion was previously around if they can get the grid spot up one place, because where the Max was placed, the second position of the racetrack, that was not giving an optimal grip. Because on the other side of the racetrack where the Bottas was placed, he was quite on the hooked up line. So there were discussions from the Red Bull to get this grid slot moved up one place, so that the first position person will get the maximum traction. But this problem which Leclerc encountered, it was from the parade warm-up lap. So due to that, this position was not moved up. But after this, the position, the Bottas could not get the position from the Max. So the position was quite natural, because P1 for Max, P2 for Bottas, P3 for Sainz and Norris. But real progress was made by Lance Stroll, because we don't know how he did it, but he made two places up in the lap one of this Monaco Grand Prix, which seems quite impossible for me.
Correct. That lap one, we all know how difficult the overtaking in on the circuit of Monaco is. Goes back to the memory of 2018, where Vettel was chasing a Red Bull of Daniel Ricciardo, who had this NGOK failure. Arvind, do you want to go through the lap one and a little bit of insight on how the places were jumbled up?
Definitely. The start was really somewhat unusual. Like, the grid for the pole was empty. And we also heard that the Red Bull team asking the race director, Michael Massey, are you going to change the grid positions, or is it going to be the same? And for which Michael Massey replied that it's going to be the same. And it was kind of weird, right, to watch the pole grid empty and start. And after that, from in the beginning, Valtteri tried to have the inner line to the first chicane, Sandevoort, but Max did well by coming to the right and shutting that chance for Valtteri. After that, it was pretty much a normal race for few until the pit stops came into picture. The pit stops were the part of the race where the race actually got interesting. Normally in Monaco, it's never interesting. even though it holds a rich history. The racing is not being.
Arun, just to interrupt you. Interrupt you a second. Tell me honestly, before the first round of pit stop, did you feel that we are going for a Sunday afternoon drive or something like that before the first round of pit stop?
Yeah, definitely. And that is what I felt. Even I just went to take my tea, coffee, like that, snacks in between. I used to go. Never have I gone for any other race. It only happens in Monaco. But still, it was a good race yesterday. And to continue, after those pit stops, things started changing really. And the race got exciting.
Usually the pit stops were quite normal. Quite a few interesting things that happened was in the Mercedes garage and the Perez, the Red Bull garage, and the Aston Martin garage, right? So Arun, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you go through the problem that happened with Bottas before I jump to Lewis Hamilton? So I want to know what happened exactly with Bottas. You know, unfortunately he had to retire. So let's start with Bottas on that particular round of pit stops, Arun.
Yeah. So what happened with Valtteri was that he came in for the pit stops and he was really close with Max. So Mercedes had to give Valtteri a good stop in order for him to have a chance to take the lead of the race. But unfortunately, what happened was his wheel nut, which is supposed to come out, got machined with the axle. That is like when the wheel gun went into the wheel nut, the mechanic like tried to remove it. It didn't fit. It didn't fit well. So it didn't overlap well. It didn't mesh well. That's why it got machined with the axle. And when it gets machined, it's not easy to remove it. You either need a hammer, which is you are allowed to do it. You can bring a hammer and you can do it during the pit stop. But unfortunately, they were losing a lot of time, and there was like no point in going out. Since it's Monaco, you're not even going to have a chance to overtake. So
you better save the engine
and they can't send him in with the same tires, since one pit stop is mandatory. So
according to some sources, not from the
new. Yeah, Aniket, I'm sorry to interrupt you. But yeah, can you give some insight? You know, Lewis Hamilton was probably the first guy who stopped among the first 10 front runners, correct? So a little bit of insight on what Bottas.
Yes,
what
happened. Lewis Hamilton pulled the pin.
Lewis
Hamilton was the first to pull the pin of the pit stop, because he was stuck behind Gasly for a very long time. So he was faster than Gasly, but could not overtake the Alphatauri. He was staring at his diffuser for how many, 30, 34 laps. But Lewis was saying that he was conserving his tire to go longer. But the Bottas encounters her problems while following Max. He had problems with his left front. So that's why Mercedes decided to put the pin and bring Hamilton back. Hamilton into the pit to get him out in the free space and have a good out lap so that they can undercut Gasly. But the things in Monaco, which the things work quite well, are with overcut only. So they didn't understand that Gasly will have a good lap, because Gasly was saving his tires too, because in front of Gasly there was Sebastian Vettel, and Sebastian Vettel was going around pretty nicely, maintaining a very huge gap to the front runners, and he was going like you say, Sunday drive. So when Mercedes spotted this gap in the traffic, so they pit Hamilton and gave him fresh hard tires. But we can say that Lewis was not having a good time in the Mercedes compared to Bottas. So when the Gasly put his final lap on the softest tire and came into the pit, he was neck and neck with the Lewis and still was able to maintain his position. So after that, we know what happened afterwards. Sebastian Vettel went longer by two laps and overtook them both.
Right. On this note, I would like to bring in Arif over here. Arif, so we all know that, you know, the Hamilton was trying to jump, undercut the Gasly, and probably Vettel was behind him, I think, in the eighth position. And eventually, when he came out, he was the Vettel when he pitted and completed his pit and he came. He overcut Gasly and Hamilton, both jumping them to be in the fifth position. Right, Arif, would you like to share some light on that?
Yeah, no, you are obviously correct. I'd like to add on one more thing that Arvind said, that I still remember Martin Brundle talking about the thing that the in-lap of Gasly was better than the out-lap of Lewis Hamilton. And we all know that the track not that much great for the undercut, because, you know, the main thing was it was the Hamilton that made the race so much interesting, or whatever interesting it was. Otherwise, everyone were planning to save the tire and go for a longer stint, and they were hoping for a safety car. That was the plan of each and every guy of each and every drivers who were out there in the front. None of them were willing to show their real pace. You can see when Lewis Hamilton made the fastest lap, it was a new lap record. When the new rules happened, and they all say that 2020 will, we all agree that 2020 will be a car that will be slower than the 2021 car will be slower than the 2020 car. And Hamilton broke the lap record by, I think, more than a margin of 1.5 seconds.
What
the real pace on the track, but none of them were showing because they were all trying to do the thing. And that was the thing when Hamilton tried to undercut Gasly, he got informed and he came out there.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's a very interesting point you brought out, but we'll come to that later. And I think, can you take us to the pit stops of what happened with Perez? And, you know, he eventually finished fifth, correct? If I'm not mistaken. And, it was pretty nice drive. And what about Lando Norris? He was maintaining quite a good pace as well. And he also was under threat from car number 4 for the third position, right? So you want to go through that after the first round of pit stops and the pit stop of Perez as well, Arvind.
Perez was Perez is normally good around this circuit. And what happened was when Perez pitted, he actually got a really good pit stop from the Red Bull crew, who hold the fastest pit stop record. So he got a really good stop, and after that, the reason why he got in front of, he just leapfrogged everyone, was that he was putting in good laps when others were pitting. So when others were pitting, he was really going fast and gaining a second or so in that process. And so when he came in and he got a clean pit stop and he came out, he just leapfrogged from P8 to P4. He just skipped all those places. And we also heard Lewis's engineer Peter Bonington telling him that you might also lose a place to Perez. That was really cool. He just put in a really good laps when others were inside. And after that, he was actually 19 seconds behind Lando Norris, who was on P3. And he, at the end of the race, he was only 1.7 seconds, I guess, behind Lando Norris.
Norris had a problem with tires later on.
Norris started losing grip. And Perez was finding his mojo. I thought he might overtake him for his first podium with Red Bull, but it didn't happen. Anyway, it was a good
speaking of that overtaking opportunity of Perez to Norris, you know, even Sainz came very close to Vettel. He was under 2.5 seconds, nearly 2 seconds of a gap during that second stint of the pit stop. But very interesting fact over here was that all the drivers were trying to maintain a 20-21 second of a gap to the next to the car behind. Say, for example, Max, when he was leading the race before the first round of pit stops, he was trying to maintain a gap of 21 seconds ahead of Vettel. So when he comes out, he will come out of Vettel, and then when everybody stops, the order remains the same. But it was a very good race to watch eventually after the first round of pit stops. Arif, you would like to highlight some points towards that second part or the last part of the race which was going on before we move to the another section, and there are quite a few interesting facts and figures which we would like to discuss upon. So yeah, the later part of the race.
Yeah, I'd like to add on the second. Actually, listen, it was Lewis Hamilton who made the race damn interesting. And I'd like to add on, not too much more, because again, like then was charge of pit stop, everyone is coming, everyone is going. But you know, but the real thing was everyone was hiding their pace, and when they got the chance, like yes, like someone that the car behind you or in front of you is pitting, so you need to push. They started pushing, and we can show that it is Monaco was like in this race. We had Lando Norris made a fastest lap, and that was in the early part of it, not in the latter part of the race. Like normally what happens, like for the first three races, you can see that either it's Mercedes or it's Red Bull, they are doing the fastest lap, and someday if McLaren or Ferrari did, they will be doing in the latter part of the race with fresh tire and almost no fuel. But here you can see that on the, like in the top tip, just something around 15 laps, Lando Norris made the fastest lap of the race. So that was like the region was everybody is hiding their real pace. And yeah, that is, but I would like to add on one more thing. Like I'm really disappointed by the two guys. I would like to you guys to tell about what happened with Ricardo and Alonso. We know that the car was not that great. The Renault was not that great in this season. But what happened with Ricardo? Like it was really frustrating to see him at the 12th position at doing, like he got overlapped by his teammates. That's the worst thing one can happen with you in the race. You got overlapped by your teammate. So would you like to discuss something about this?
Yeah, I mean it's rather very unfortunate thing to see a driver like Ricardo being lagged by his own teammate in the same kind of machinery. But let's not forget, we discussed this in preview as well, that Ricardo, Alonso is probably coming back for a second stint in Formula One. But Ricardo is moving to a complete new machine. I think he will take few races and few months to adjust. Probably we'll see the best out of him from the Belgian Grand Prix after the summer break. But yeah, it's rather unfortunate. But you know, I really liked the gesture from Lando on this, when he waved towards Ricardo when he was passing him. So that was very romantically captured and very nicely. It was very nice from Lando. The guy is aggressive and is very sweet to his teammates as well. That's very nice to see about this young generation coming through. On that note, you know, Aniket, I would like to bring you in to highlight Sonoro and Lewis Hamilton. Sonoro made his first step around lap 58. That was his only stop when he moved to the soft tires. And so did Lewis a couple of laps later. Would you like to take us through that particular stint of Sonoro and Lewis?
So Lewis could take the pit stop because he was having like 22 second gap behind to Lance Stroll after he made a pit stop. But Sonoro, I don't know what AlphaTauri was thinking about Sonoro. But what happened was he 17 or 16 pit stop and came back behind Latifi. So even with the softest tire available to him, he was not able to make any ground on Latifi, then George Russell, and after George Russell there was Alonso, then Kimi Raikkonen, and after Kimi Raikkonen there was Ricardo, and after that the Kimi was 11th. So Ricardo, Kimi, and after that there was Giovinazzi and Ocon. Ocon was the coughing bottle for everyone because everyone was catching up behind Ocon, and after pit stop, after that Kimi was stuck behind Gio, and after that, Ricardo was able to close the gap to Kimi but was not able to pass him, and same for Alonso. Alonso was given soft tires to the end by Alpine. Alpine had a very slow pace around this Mokotag. If you have seen in the previous race, they were very quick. But in Monaco, they were not having a good time. That may be up to their technical, specialty of the car. The car was not having any front grip. We know that Renault has been very good in the fast corners. We have seen it in Monza and we have seen it in Spa. So maybe let's see about Alpine, what happens next. And what happened with Daniel Ricciardo is very unfortunate.
Right. I mean,
he was not very, having any good time.
It's very unfortunate. Correct. Like I mentioned, they are coming back from a stint, new car, Alonso coming from a stint. Let's give them a few races to come find their motor back. But the point I was highlighting to our fans about Tsunoda is Tsunoda made a pit stop, his only pit stop around lap 58. And immediately, in a couple of laps time, he smashed the lap record. He went on to 114.2, which was a couple of liters again broken by Hamilton. And Hamilton,
yeah,
this time made it 1 minute 12 something.
12.
So that 1 minute is extremely, extremely fast around Monaco. Yeah, 1 minute 12 seconds is extremely fast around Monaco. That's highlighted the point.
It's like a qualification time for most teams.
Right. So, I was bringing the point of Giovinazzi. I mean, Giovinazzi and Alfa Romeo scoring their first point in this particular Monaco GP. You want to take it from further from there on, Alfa Romeo and Giovinazzi?
Alfa Romeo scoring their first point of the season. Yeah, it was really good to see them in the, being in the top 10 all at Imola. But unfortunately, they got Kimi got a 30-second time penalty and he had to drop back. And this is their first point of the season. And race like, yeah, anyway, that shows the progress they've made since last year. So it is all good for Alfa Romeo for now.
And we discussed about Giovinazzi in our preview as well, right? We discussed Giovinazzi as well. Remember to bring in the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing his work as a driver.
We are guessing good things.
Absolutely. Aniket, will come to you on Perez. Perez scored a podium in 2016 in Monaco, right? And this race, when we finished fourth, this was his the only point scoring in Monaco after that 2016 podium in India, then Racing Point, and now Aston Martin.
Red Bull.
Trying for Red Bull. Correct. So can you go through that facts and figures of Perez on how he has grown as a driver and what kind of improvement he has shown driving side? And I thought
Perez is a guy who is very good learner, because even Jenson Button had said about him that from his rookie teammates, he was the guy. Perez was the guy who surprised him most with his pace. Not even Kevin Magnussen. Perez was the guy he was impressed with. So after that, Perez had made it to Sauber. Then after that, he was in McLaren. After that, he got to Force India, which became Racing Point for a year. And after that, it became Aston Martin. And funnily, we can say they kicked him out. Fortunately, he got even better seat and he is in Red Bull. So, adapting Red Bull in the cursed second seat, which everybody calls on the social media, that second seat of the Red Bull is cursed. No one is able to match Max Verstappen. No one is able to back Max Verstappen in the strategy wise. But in race, if you can see in every race, Perez has been very up to, has been very good to the team satisfaction and to the satisfaction of his as well. Because Perez has been learning, quite adapting to the new car. And Red Bull is car, like, it is not the slowest, second slowest car on the grid. Because if we see pace-wise, Red Bull has been the car is up to the speed of Mercedes. It can challenge Mercedes fully. The thing with Max's previous teammates, Gasly and Albon, the car was not stable on the rear end. But here, in this year, the car is perfectly stable. And Perez is able to make the progress. Perez is able to believe the car what he can do with it. So, in this Monaco Grand Prix, we also see that Perez was able to maintain his tire, his pace, and able to go longer on the softest compound tire. And he was able to gang up on the Gasly, Hamilton and Vettel. He was able to jump them so that much that when he came out of the pit, we were not able to see anyone in the background. He was ahead, miles ahead of everyone, and he was able to close the gap to McLaren. That was his pace. Means if we are seeing what we are seeing from the Perez, we should be looking forward to Baku as early as possible, because Max is very good. Max is okay in the Baku.
Correct.
Perez has a podium in Baku. If we dig up the facts.
Correct. We'll come to that Baku, and we'll talk about Baku a little bit towards the end of our session. One interesting fact which I want the viewpoint of Arif on this one is, back in 2011, the podium was Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull, Fernando Alonso and Ferrari, and Jenson Button and McLaren. 2021, the podium is Max Verstappen for Red Bull, Carlos Sainz in Ferrari, and Lando Norris in McLaren. Quite an interesting fact. Arif,
so yeah, I would like to add on two more things to this. First of all the three guys on the podium in 2011, they were already world champions. Like Alonso already had a championship on 2006, Jenson Button 2009 champion, and Sebastian Vettel 2010 champion. And 2011, Sebastian Vettel went on to win the championship. So you may know, like, who said this is the year for Max Verstappen? Because yeah, this year, we normally see Mercedes make very few mistakes, and this year Mercedes already are not the car is no doubt the car is great, but Red Bull is able to match the pace. And the reason behind this is, again, I would like to come on the topic that Arvind said, the Sergio Perez. Perez is one of the most highly qualified guy when it comes to technical terms in setting up a car. He's often considered, he's not only a great driver, he's a very calm person, and he had lots of good information about how to set up his own car, and that is the thing. That's why he's helping Red Bull this season. And that was the problem with Red Bull in the earlier season, when they had Gasly or they had Albon. No doubt they two were very good drivers, but they were lacking the experience of somebody like likes of Perez, or maybe Sebastian Vettel. If maybe there was chance Sebastian Vettel had this. So that was the thing. That was the thing they lacked. No doubt they had the likes of Adrian Newey and all those great guys, but still, as a driver, you need to tell your race engineer exact things so that he can give you the correct explanation. And that's what Perez is doing. He's not only making himself better, he's making the Red Bull car as a whole better. And during the upcoming races, we will not only see Perez getting podium, we might see Perez and Max Verstappen ganging up on Lewis Hamilton. And that's where the things will become more interesting. Like what used to happen normally, even in 2019 or in 2020, it was like the Mercedes always had the advantage. The two cars they had, they were always on the top. So what Max Verstappen had to fight two ways. But now it's Perez, and maybe in the after two or three races, it will like, and since Bottas is not up to his mark this season, he's not performing that much great. No doubt he's having a bad luck, we all know that. But his performance level is not that with respect to 2020 season. So we might see that Perez and Red Bull as a team ganging up Lewis Hamilton and then taking on the strategy.
I remember that particular point. I remember reading it somewhere during the Christian Horner interview. He said that we have only one car in the front and they're not able to make any kind of changes in our strategy. Right, so if we have second car close by, we can do some experiment with our strategy, and probably that can help us. Correct, that is what exactly you are trying to hang up. But my friends, ganging up is not the correct word. I think it's a team sport, and it's a team effort at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
So I'll just try to correct it on that. Okay, moving on to eventually, we had a very good race in Monaco after a year's gap. And we all loved it, except the first part of the race. It was fantastic. The next stop is Baku in probably 2 weeks' time. Arvind, do you want to start on how should we preview the Baku GP?
Yeah, so what you can do is you can just guess everything and it just happened. That is what we have been doing. Whatever we try to do. Yeah.
That's very rare. So, Mercedes will be strong in Baku, I think so.
Yeah, so talking about Baku, Lewis says Red Bull are going to be faster, and we all know, like, we have a long straight, so normally I guess Ferrari won't be that fast as they were in Monaco, in Baku. They will be around in top 6, top 7, but not as fast as they were in Monaco because of that long straight. And the next thing is, it's a street circuit, almost same as Monaco, excluding that long straight. Red Bull are, I guess, will be really strong around these circuits. And Mercedes seem to have a good straight line speed compared to the rest of the field. So in that straights, Mercedes have an advantage. In the corners, Red Bull have an advantage. And McLaren's are also looking good in such circuits. They seem to have the straight line speed and are also pretty good around the corners. So it's going to be really interesting race in Baku. And it's not like Monaco. We will get to see few overtakes down turn one. Like, there are many, many, many places where we get to see the overtakes in Baku. And this is again, this Baku circuit is a place where Charles Leclerc crashes often. So we saw in 2019 he crashed FP3. He crashed into the wall, and the famous "I am stupid" thing started. But yeah, let's hope nothing is going to happen to him. He's going to have a clean race. Ferraris will do good other than the straight line, straight line that we have there. So it should be a pretty decent race. Three. Yeah, compared to
the corners, because the corners are like 90 degrees corners. So Ferrari is going to be massive.
So we should not
it will be good.
Yeah. So we should not count them out totally, Ferrari. Since we have many corners, 90-degree corners and few slow corners also, Ferrari are going to be good. So, yeah, it's a good. Correct. It's going to be a good weekend.
This is the final
point. Like, this is the first weekend where Max is entering as a leader of the championship. Things are going to be different.
So that mindset will be different, na?
And...
What will happen? I think Mercedes have a very good car around Baku. So if we can check the previous performances of Mercedes, they were not as fast as everyone else in the Baku, because even Ferrari had the pole in 2018, I guess. So I think McLaren and Red Bull will have an edge. Mercedes will still be on the mix for pole, but Ferrari will be quite 0.2 or 0.3 seconds behind. They can surprise us, it will be good. But I'm interested in the midfield battle again. So I don't even I'm betting on Aston Martin to be the fifth fastest team in Baku. So I don't know about Alpine. So what are your thoughts, Arvind?
Yeah, on Alpine, they seem to struggle in Monaco. But normally they are good in straight lines, like where we have long straights in Spa, high-speed circuits, power-hungry circuits, they are pretty good. They're not going to be as bad as they were in Monaco. They're going to improve in Baku. That's what I feel about Alpine.
Correct.
Yeah, I would like the same. The thoughts are basically the same, but I don't think Ferrari will be too back. Like, I think it will be a three-way race. For me, it will be a three-way or might be a four-way, like McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes and Red Bull. Because Ferraris are not that much loose on the straight, and they are gaining lots of time in the straight on the 90-degree corners of the Baku. So even if they are not... Like, it might happen that they're not at the starting grid position is not that much great, but during the race course, if they will be able to make time on the corners, and since the DRS is very, very effective out there, the top speed goes beyond 340, 345. So it might happen that we will see, obviously we are going to see lots of overtakes in Baku, especially on that.
Hey, one of the very
which is one of the longest straight in the F1 calendar. The top speed goes beyond 350 sometimes.
But
so we think like
I think the pole position will be not just by Red Bull, but race pace of the Mercedes, because the Mercedes has been very kind to their tires. So race pace wise, the Mercedes will be better, and the McLaren will be the dark horse of this race.
Correct. So I'll just jump to Arif. Sorry, you were interrupted, Arif. Can you complete your point? You were saying something.
That was the thing I was saying, that the all those cars having like top speed, like the, as I said about Renault, the Renault engine is doing very much, very great. So we might see Alpine again on the chart. And I'm not sure about McLaren, because like doubt they had a brilliant. I'm not sure about McLaren because they lack the straight pace, the straight line pace. They are not that much fast as compared to the Mercedes. So that might be the thing, because that straight is very, very important thing. Like if being a good driver, or suppose someone is having a good day, like it's also a fact of a day. Like someday you are not making any mistakes, or the likes of Fernando Alonso or Esteban Ocon, if he doesn't make any mistake on the trip, you can see that the Ocon taking up Lando Norris or maybe Daniel Ricciardo on the straight. So I think Alpine will be a better team than McLaren. By the way, no one knows. Let's hope for the best. And hopefully,
correct, Arif. So just on that note, you know, so basically all of us are agreeing that the first four or the top podium positions fight will be between Mercedes and Red Bull, and Ferrari will fight it out for third and fourth, and Aston Martin will be probably fifth in winning that midfield battle. So if on that note, you know, just like Rin highlighted, that Max Verstappen, first time in his life, will be going into a race leading a world championship in the Formula One, correct? And just one detail that we all missed is that you all remember how there was one video on YouTube showing how much the bending of Red Bull rear wings were happening, okay? And Red Bull will have that to their benefit on the straight line speed affecting to Red Bull in favor of Red Bull. I mean, correct? So Red Bull are definitely worth a shot over here. And this is probably one of their strongest races as well, where I think in 2016 and 2017 was won by Ricciardo. And of course, that is another one of the circuits where safety car has always made an appearance. Unfortunately, this was the only Monaco race where safety car did not come. Thank God.
Very nice.
It was a blessing in
disguise. Not even a yellow flag.
Correct.
And
everyone was betting on
Mazepin
to crash.
You know, I would just like.
And Mazepin finished Schumacher.
He did not do that. Never had any incident. Nothing.
That's why it was strange.
good for that. Thanks for our fans. We'd like to call this session. At this point of time, do visit our website, f1india.in. Also, like us on our Insta and Facebook pages of F1 India community. Do visit for our posts and do read our articles on f1india.in. Thank you guys. Have a good night and see you next time.